Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Monday.
I want to cast the characters. Look around you. Who would have known that the kingdom of heaven would look like this? It's fabulous. We've got these marvelous things happening through this time of exploring the heart. We have Patricia Grabo next week with this near-death experience that lets us touch what we really are in a very different way and explore and understand this amazing love in which we live. And then a couple weeks ago, we had Debbie Rosman here from HeartMath, and she was sharing with us part of what's happening in our experience right now. This impact of the higher dimensional energies entering the earth and how we experience that as things happening more rapidly, more quickly, all the different stresses and demands that just seem to pile up on life. And she gave us the wonderful news that it is going to continue to accelerate. And fortunately, she also gave us the understanding that in this experience of the heart, we're able to take and these energies become inspiration and insight and spiritual growth. Or they become part of the chaos and the experience in the world that makes us uncomfortable. And we have this very powerful, beautiful spiritual instrument to help make the choices that impact that experience. One of the things that she shared was the very powerful influence right now of the attitude of kindness. The attitude of kindness. How much that energy of the heart makes a difference and touches us in our experience. I was thinking of that in a particular way because I had I ended up talking with Gary Zukav this week, and for those of you that may remember, 25 years ago, Gary wrote the wonderful book Seed of the Soul, and the book is being reissued, and we ended up connecting around that. But I ended up picking it up, and I haven't looked at it in years, and remembered why it was such a delight and inspiration for those seeking to understand the spiritual path. One of the things that Gary says in there: when the most difficult circumstances, such as suffering, poverty, illness, cruelty, exploitation, and violence, become visible, they are opportunities to develop the emotional awareness and responsible choice to choose love instead of fear. It goes on that invites us or takes us into the experience then of growing in joy and freedom and creating authentic power. Very, very wonderful thing to understand that we have that choice. And that these things that we see in our world that are uncomfortable, and there's people committed 24 hours to seeing that if you want to be uncomfortable, you can turn them on and watch them. So they're really supporting us in that growth invitation. But that in the response to those, again, through something like this, the power of the heart, this power of kindness, we're able to create and move more effectively into this beautiful expansion of consciousness that we're in the midst of. Now, you already know to do that, right? You're kind people. It's just who you are. Okay, and you know that choose love instead of fear, unless this is your very first time and you've never been in any spiritual discipline before in your life.
Hey,
That's root of the whole thing. It's what it's all about. So you know that. The problem isn't knowing it. The problem is remembering to do it when all this happens. So what I thought might be helpful, at least it's helpful for me, is an image. Now, what I find is if I take a hold of an image, then sometimes that image will pop up when I'm about to do other than to choose love instead of fear. And that image often helps me move into that choice that I know I want to make, that we have the capacity to make. So I want to share with you an image that has been coming to me over some time and just makes that movement in my heart fairly simple. This is from the Gospel of Pooh. An experience in the 100-acre woods, which we've touched before, but it's well worth journeying back to our friends there in the 100-acre wood. And this starts out with the experience of Piglet. Now, it turns out that this is a downpour in the 100-acre wood. It rained and it rained and it rained. Piglet told himself that never in all his life, and he was goodness knows how old, 3 or was it 4, never had he seen so much rain. Days and days and days. If only, he thought, as he looked out the window, if only I'd been in Pooh or Christopher Robin's house or Rabbit's, where we could have company through this. He imagined himself, Pooh saying, "Did you ever see such rain, Pooh?" Then Pooh saying, "Isn't it awful, Piglet?" And Piglet saying, "I wonder how it is over Christopher Robin's." Now, one of the things that I love about Piglet is such a marvelous symbol of that part of ourselves that feels so vulnerable, that gets so afraid when things change and there's something to deal with, and we feel kind of small and insignificant and powerless. Anybody got a piglet in them here? Okay, yeah, we all have this piglet. So, and you know, and here we are. I think of the water coming up in Piglet's house, and to me it's kind of like, okay, all this spiritual energy and all this stuff is coming our way. So what are we doing with it? And it gets a little overwhelming and frightening. And however, Piglet thinks to take a step to help himself. Piglet remembers that there are those who have thrown a bottle with a message, and somebody's found the message and come and rescued them. So Piglet writes his message, puts it in a bottle, puts a cork on it, and throws it out into the water flowing by his little house. Now, at this point, let's go to our other friend, Pooh. Now, Pooh has been noticing the rain and was kind of drifting off into one of those dreams when suddenly, oh, there he was, sitting in his chair with his feet in water and all water all around him. He splashed to his door and looked out. "Oh, this is serious," said Pooh. "I must have an escape." So he took his largest pot of honey and escaped with it to a broad branch of his tree, well above the water, and then he climbed down and escaped with another pot. And so we find Pooh sitting on a branch well above the water with 10 pots of honey. I love the sense of self-love and care there, don't you? Okay. 2 days later, Pooh was sitting on his branch dangling his legs, and there beside him were 4 pots of honey. 4 days later, there was Pooh. There are points in life where we know, okay, something's got to change here, right? So on that morning of the 4th day, he spotted a bottle going by. It was Piglet's bottle. "Honey," cried Pooh, and he plunged into the water, seized the bottle, and struggled back to his tree again. "Oh, it's a message," he said to himself. And when he opened it, what's that letter? It's a P. P's mean poo, and that must mean it's a very important message for me. However, Pooh's got a problem. He can't read. Ah, then he had an idea. He said, if I could just find one of those reading people, Christopher Robin or Owl or Piglet, that can read things, and they would tell me what the message means. So he looks around at how can he get there? If a bottle floats, then a jar can float. And if a jar floats, I can sit on the top of it. And if it's a very big jar, so he took his biggest jar and corked it up. All boats have a name, he said, and I shall call this the floating bear. And with these words, he dropped the boat into the water and jumped in after it. For a while, Pooh and the floating bear were uncertain as to which of them was meant to be on the top. After trying a few positions, it settled down with the floating bear underneath, and Pooh triumphantly astride it as he paddled with his feet, headed for Christopher Robin's. Now, Christopher Robin has been watching the water rise, and his home has become an island. And Owl had come to visit, so he had asked Owl to go and check on Pooh and Piglet. And Owl comes back and says, Pooh isn't there. Not there. Has been there. He was sitting on a branch of his tree outside his house with 9 pots of honey. But he isn't there now. Oh, Pooh, cried Christopher Robin, where are you? Here I am, said a growly voice behind him. Pooh! And they rushed into each other's arms. How did you get here? Asked Pooh. On my boat, said Pooh proudly. And I had a very important message sent me in a bottle, and owing to having got some water in my eyes, I can't read it. And so I brought it to you. With these proud words, he gave Christopher Robin the message. Now, Christopher Robin reads the message, which goes something like, help, help me, Piglet. And says, it's from Piglet. Oh, I thought the peas were poos instead of Piglets. We must rescue Piglet at once. Well, they discover that the floating bear is a little small for them to both go on. So they're looking at how are they going to rescue Piglet. And then that bear, Pooh Bear, Winnie the Pooh, in fact, Pooh himself, said something so clever that Christopher Robin could only look at him with mouth open and eyes staring, wondering if this was really the bear of very little brain whom he'd known and loved so long. We might go in your umbrella, said Pooh. We might go in your umbrella, said Pooh. For suddenly, Christopher Robin saw that they might. He opened the umbrella and put it point downward in the water. It floated but wobbled. Pooh got in. He was just beginning to say that it was all right when he found that it wasn't. And after a short drink, he really didn't want, he waded back to Christopher Robin. They got in together, and it wobbled no longer. I shall call this boat the Brain of Pooh, said Christopher Robin. And the Brain of Pooh set sail in a southwesterly direction, revolving gracefully. Can you imagine Piglet's joy when at last the good ship, Brain of Pooh, Captain Christopher Robin, First Mate, Pooh Bear, came sailing over the sea toward him? It's that image of the Brain of Pooh, this wonderful upside-down umbrella, off on the waters with Christopher Robin and Pooh Bear, that reminds me to send out something that is beneficial. That kindness for their friend that they want to reach out and touch and let Piglet, that Piglet in all of us know, it's really going to be okay. That experience of sending consciousness, of feeling kindness, sending it to another when we see these things that are filled with pain and difficulty in our world. Now, there are many experiences that are difficult and are painful. And while we don't want to minimize them, we recognize again and again they are not ours to deal with. And yet they're in our awareness, aren't they? They touch our world. And so we have a relationship to them. For many people, they create fear. I think of the recent experiences of the shootings in Seattle. Catherine and I were up there just a couple weeks ago. And how difficult for those people. How painful for those directly involved. How frightening for that community. And there's another choice. We don't have to go to the fear. What's asked of us? We've been talking about relationship. We looked at the relationship to those close to us and those that just touch our lives. But what's our relationship to this world that we keep looking out on? Could we choose to respond from kindness? To simply send that gentle awareness as we would for a friend when they forget who they are and they're caught in their pain and we know with them, you're a child of God. You're loved. Child of God. You're loved. Child of God. You're loved. Can we send that? Just breathe that with that feeling of kindness. Gently hold that for another. Join me. Child of God, you are loved. Child of God, you are loved. Child of God, you are loved. How we hold that connection with someone in their struggle. We aren't their answer. We aren't there to fix their world. But what is the presence that we are in that world? As we were exploring this, I found myself drawn back to a memory, an experience that I shared some time ago. But I want to touch it again with an additional understanding that I didn't share at that time. I found myself in Israel. And from there, I took a journey into the occupied West Bank, into a refugee camp that was there. And in that camp, I entered the camp through the guns and all that are a part of that life. And I went into this home of a family that was there. It was a woman and her four children. The oldest of the children was probably about 16. And they were sharing the experience of having lost the father who was shot there in the house. And the struggle that they were having in life at that point. Now I'm sitting there in the house with this woman and her children. And I was aware that it's pretty close to impossible to get more difference between the life of two people than she and I. In her world, I am a rich American with the freedom to hop on a plane and travel around the world because I want to see and learn something. She is a woman, she is a Muslim, she is in a fortified community. And she can't step outside the gates. We live in different worlds. And yet I wanted to connect. I wanted to understand. I wanted to get past that. And so I shared with her that I had also had the experience of a death of a spouse. She looked at me with kind of a challenging way of putting it and said, "Was it by a gun?" And I said, "Yes." When she heard that, she looked into my eyes. Now understand, this is a Muslim woman. And part of the traditions of that culture is that a woman does not look into a man's eyes. So as we had been sitting there talking, she was certainly paying attention, but not looking directly at any of us. And at that moment, she looked directly into my eyes. And I saw into her soul. I saw the pain, the struggle, the fear, the loneliness. I knew her fear for this oldest boy that was becoming radicalized in a way that was spiraling beyond her control and her fear for him. I saw her sense of loneliness and her fear that there would never be someone there to be a part of her life, to be a support to her. A sense of exhaustion. And I saw the beauty, the strength of that amazing woman. And she saw into me. There was something else, and I didn't even acknowledge it at the time. But I was so aware that around her and I, like in the background, almost in the fabric of the color that surrounded us, was a love that cared for each of us. What happened in that moment was we gave up separation. We gave up different. We were just two people in the experience of life. And in that experience, as every one of us has, we had known some pain. And what I knew was that it touched the place of loneliness for us both. It was different. Now, it didn't take it away from her world. I left and her world had not changed outside. But somewhere in that connection, there was a care and acknowledgement of who we were. That's what we send when we just breathe kindness. Because when we breathe that out, when we send that to another, it touches. Now, maybe not as directly as what happened between she and I, but it touches. Our spirit is always open. There's always that connection. That's not to say it changes the outer. But it seems to me the more we do it, the more we invite everything to change. I invite you to join me just for a moment and just breathe love. Just go to that feeling of love that's kindness. Breathe that kindness for the peoples of this world. Hold that place. Child of God, you are loved. Join me.
Child of God, you are loved. Child of God, you are loved. Child of God, you are loved.
I want to ask you today to hold that kindness, hold that awareness of that love for three people and for their peoples. Today, in a garden at the Vatican, the president of Israel, President Peres, the president of the Palestinian Authority, President Abbas, and Pope Francis are together, praying together for peace. Send your heart to bless them. It does make a difference. It is a power greater than all the fear that separates us. It dissolves the illusion of our difference and brings that power of creation and harmony into reality. So just breathe with me for a moment. Just breathe that feeling of kindness to those peoples in the world that think we're separate, that are afraid. Breathe that kindness. Children of God, you are loved. Together.
Children of God, you are loved. Children of God, you are loved. Children of God, you are loved.
As one of the great teachers of our time, the Dalai Lama, put it so beautifully, this is my simple religion. There's no need for temples, no need for complicated philosophy. Our own brain, our own heart is our temple. The philosophy is kindness. Breathe kindness. What a way to travel down a California freeway. All those people around you, and all they really need is a little kindness. Enjoy the journey.